You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 4. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God, we thank you for your presence and your grace. So here we are. Help us to understand that which only you understand. And our God will thank you in Christ's name. Amen. In our looking, we share together, God is God. He's being God. There is no other God. Why is that important to understand? And he says it repeatedly. There's no other God besides me. No one. So therefore, if he alone is God, then we have to understand that everything else is less than God, and he, God, is glorious, and what he does is for his glory. What's he doing? What is glory? The expression, the wealth, the worth, the weight of God's wonderful person, God expressing himself in his magnificence. Now, so therefore, having said that, that's God. God is God. What is it like without God? What happens if I leave God out of the equation? What is it like to be without God? God's going to demonstrate it, his glory. How? He's going to create angels that have choice. He's going to create humans that have choice. And they're going to demonstrate, the angels and the humans are going to demonstrate what it's like to be without God. What happens when God, he's the only God. And everything has to understand he's the only God. So God, you're going to put it on the other side to make it clear. You're the only God, only one. And so therefore, we're going to go and look, and angels and humans are going to demonstrate the marvelousness of who you are and what it is like to be without you. So therefore, as we're looking at Calvary's cross, and as we're looking and thinking about it, as we are in John chapter 19 and that, so if you can, use your thought, imagination if you can. And we're going to be looking out from the cross. We're going to be on the cross, as it were, behind the Lord, looking over his shoulder. And we're going to look out. What do we see when we look out over his shoulder on the cross? What do we see? Well, we see what? We see the soldiers. We see them doing their job, seeing what they have to do, and in this case, they understand from the area and the atmosphere that here's a man that isn't to be, a man that shouldn't be here. And the soldiers are there doing their job and to crucify. And the Pharisees are there, and the Pharisees are relieved because they went and arrested him and put him on trial, so that they could what? Protect their position and their power and their possessions. The system, the world system. God is against the world system. He's against religious systems. Therefore, here's the Pharisees looking, there they are over there, and he's a blasphemer, they're mocking him. And there's the disciples over there. Not all of them, they're scattered. But there's John, and John's there, and et cetera. And the disciples are all scattered. All they found is what? They followed the Lord for 3 1/3 years, and they find failure. The Messiah is forsaken. whatever we understood or thought we understood or hoped for, it's all gone. All is lost. We're left nothing. Disciples. And then we look out, and there's the women over here, three or four women over here. And he sees the women, and the women are up there distant looking. And there's the women, and they see the suffering, the man suffering, pity, pity, the cruelty of humanity and the hard things of life, people, the way people treat each other, it's everything. And here's the crowd, they are the spectators. And what are they going to do? Well, it's just another crucifixion. And to many, it's the crucifixion of the one they were trusting. And then we go to the thieves on each side of them. And the thieves saw him as nothing. And then all of a sudden, one woke up and said, today, positive, today, Lord, today, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And God said he would remember. He's one of all the people. No one's believing. No one cares. Just another crucifixion as we look over the shoulder. Another crucifixion. Oh, there was Mary. Mary anointed him. She understood he was going to be crucified. There's a second person. But the rest of them, no one knows. Does anyone know why he's there? Does anyone know what's going on? They don't know what's going on. They don't know what's going on. So therefore, having said that and keeping that in mind, and here's the six trials. Remember, in the six trials that took place, three Jewish, three Gentile, and the Gentile trials, Jewish trials, seeking to justify their condemnation and the crucifixion, ended up finding they were on trial and not the Lord. The Lord in their six, all those six trials, Jew and Gentile, are totally, they represent the Jews, they represent the Gentiles. The whole world is guilty, Romans 3 and 19. The whole world is guilty before God. And all they did in their trials was condemn themselves. And that's what they did. Because the crucifixion, they crucified him. Hang on. Now, having said that, now, how does the Lord, I'm looking here over his shoulder, as it were, and looking, and here he is. Lord, we see the crowd, we see the people, we see them. No one knows. No one, they aren't there. Well, God, what are you doing here? What are you doing on the cross? John chapter 4. And you will note, John chapter 4, our Lord. You need to get, what I'm going to do now is try to help us understand, refresh anew. God's awesome. What are you doing on the cross? The people don't understand. The crowd doesn't understand. They don't even care. Chapter 4, our Lord. Remember, they were hungry. It was lunchtime. And therefore, verse 32. And he said unto them, I have meat, food to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? In other words, someone else has gone to McDonald's and brought him something. No, that's not true. Verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat, my food, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I'm here. But what are you doing, Lord? I came to do the will of God in a most awesome way. Chapter 5. And in chapter 5, picking up, please. In chapter 5, verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John the Baptist, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. I'm here on assignment from God the Father. I'm here. Chapter 6. And in verse 38. I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Why are you here? To outwork the wonderful plan of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. That's my plan. And by the way, chapter 8, and picking up verse 28, 8 and 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, crucifixion, then shall you know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me, the Father, is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. I do always those things that please him. So what are you doing on the cross, Lord? I'm fulfilling the will of God. What do you mean, the will of God? What do we know? We've known it, say it over and over again of late. What do we know? The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the earth, before God created angels and men. He determined to glorify himself. How is he going to glorify himself? He's going to show evil what it is to be like without God. And therefore, God is going to go when there's nothing. God the Son is going to go and put on a human body and go to the cross and die. He's going to demonstrate what is it like to be without God. And so therefore, here we are looking, and God is going to go, and he's doing the will of God. And in the process of doing it, he's going to make it so that he's the Savior of all that he creates. Angels are something else. Angels are created. They're spirit beings. You and I are made in the image and likeness of God. Angels are spirit beings. They were created all at once, all of them. And all of them had the right to choose. And they all were doing pretty good till they followed Lucifer, son of the morning, which we shared the other day. And Lucifer, then they followed Lucifer's position, and then his fall, and they followed him. And so we got a whole bunch of bad angels. Got them. But humans are created out of Adam. And Adam, in Adam's fall, we sinneth all. And all of us, we just born dead in sin. And God has done a wonderful thing. And we can't be created physically without the understanding God has saved us spiritually. God's meant us to be saved. That's his plan. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, he's doing the will of God. That's what he's doing. That's an awesome, hang on, doing that. And in Gethsemane, go over to Matthew chapter 26. And in Matthew chapter 26, and you recall, he's here to do the will of God. And picking up, if I can, in verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane in the garden, where he's betrayed. Gethsemane. And saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. I'm facing the reality of the will of God. The will of God. God's awesome being. I'm facing that and the loss of it. I'm going to have to go to the cross and die and lose that relationship. I don't understand that. No, I don't. I'm looking over his shoulder. I don't understand. No. Because you don't know what a relationship to God is. But you will. So God, here we are looking, and he's very sorrowful. And went a little further, verse 39, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. I want your will, God. I came to do your will. Doing your will is awesomely awful. I've got to go and face the reality of being without God, being godless. Verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face, except verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the spirit flesh is weak. I know it's you're humans, it's hard for you. And you aren't next to me, I'm a stone's throw away. Verse 42, we went back again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came to found asleep again, and his eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words, If this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And you remember the other account by Luke, that was so awesome an experience as he knelt down by the stone in the garden, that his sweat, pain, the awesome reality, he sweat drops of blood came out of him. The body was so traumatized, it drops of blood came from him. It's an awesome thing. Hang on. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so God, you're going to do all of that. And God's wonderful person, God's wonderful, wonderful plan and person is to go and be a delight to God. That's what it's going to be. That's God's delight. So therefore, to be encouraged to see that end of it, other side, over to Psalm 40. And in Psalm 40, picking up, if I may, starting in verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done. Thy thoughts, which are to usward, the thoughts about you and me, are here we are. They cannot be reckoned up, calculated, computed in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God, your wonderful thoughts about us. Verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Thine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. What did you require, God, for us to have such thoughts about such human beings such as us? God, how could you create us in your image and likeness for such a wonderful, wonderful plan and purpose? Verse 7. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Verse 8, I delight to do the will of my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I came, the will of God. Gethsemane, it's the will of God. It's the will of God to drink of that cup, to go to that cross. It is the will of God. I delight to do what? To face what it's like to be out without God, to face that. We don't know what it is to be with God, let alone to be without him. We don't understand. We look at the cross. We don't see. He did. He's in the will of God, doing the will of God. 41, Psalm 40, 42 better. What's it going to do? What's it going to make possible? His death on the cross, what's he going to do? Sliding down in the light of Psalm 42 in the context and all of it, picking up verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him for the help, the health, the healing. The word countenance is the word face, of his face. Hang on. Verse 11. Why art thou cast, again, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou all upset, divided in my mind, without within me? Hope thou in God. Why? For I will yet praise him, who is the health, the same as the word down in verse 5, help, health, help, healing. Health of my countenance, my face, and my God. Verse 5, his face. Verse 11, my face. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. Chapter 31. And we were there the other day, remember. In chapter 31, picking up, please, if I may. And you will notice my times, I'll read that since it's relevant. Verse 15, my times are in thy hand. God, deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. God, I want to see a smile. Here he is on the cross, hanging there, looking at the crowd, people are all looking at him. He's there, God the Father, looking to the Father. He's hanging there in a terrible, terrible condition, physically, to say the least. And in the process, he's looking for God's will to be accomplished. Why? So that we could know the smile of God. Why? Because God created us physically to be saved spiritually, to be able to enjoy God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. That's why we were saved. That's why he died. It's to make God's face shine, to see God smile on what he created us for. He didn't create us for sin, sorrowing, and suffering. He created us to know him, to enjoy him, to see his smile. It's the will of God to outwork all of this. And therefore, so with joy and delight, God looked. So therefore, and God smiled. Then, having said that, and we looked at the first 3 hours from 9 to noon last time, 9 to noon, and there's 7 sayings or words, place, and 3 of them we looked at. Now it's noontime, and what happens at noontime? So far, I'm looking over his shoulder. He's telling me he's there hanging, terrible condition. You'd say it's awful. It is. You want to look at it. But that isn't the real issue. The issue is about to happen. It isn't me hanging here in this physical body. I'm going to die physically. But that isn't why I'm up here. It's to die spiritually. And I want you to know, how am I going to know God? We don't understand. The crowd doesn't understand. I don't understand. God said, I'm going to help you. Then the most awful reality to ever be experienced, which we cannot know, to be cut off from God in an awesome way. In the, our God, how are you going to help us? The grim curtain of darkness, the darkness of night, no light, no life. All alone, separated from God, all alone in the dark. And the pall, P-A-L-L, that you cover a casket with black or velvet purple cloth, and you put it there So the $10,000 casket and the $100 casket, we covered it with the black pall, because they're all the same, the $10,000 or the $100. What it's about is the same, the covering the coffin, as it were. God. We don't understand God, the crowd, the people. No, no, we don't. And God covers it. What's he covering? Darkness came. Over to Matthew. Matthew again. And Matthew in chapter 27. In Matthew 27, picking up, please, directly, verse 44. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now, from the sixth hour, that's noon, Jewish time. And there was darkness over the whole land. The word land is the word earth, as opposed to water. All the land, all the earth, unto the ninth hour, 3 p.m. So here's the last 3 hours to be taken place on Calvary's cross. And God, in his wonderful, wonderful grace, covers. And the darkness, Matthew, Mark, and Luke uses the word earth, land, all of it is the same word, earth, as opposed to water. All the earth became dark. Dark. God covered it, the darkness. He covered it. Couldn't see in the dark. Can God do it? Oh, yes. Wonderfully, wonderfully so. And you know, in the Exodus, and you may want to turn there just for the moment, over to Exodus and to chapter 10, I think. Exodus chapter 10. Chapter 10 with thanksgiving. Chapter 10, picking up in verse 20. 10:20 of Exodus. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward the heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw no one. They were so dark. They saw no one, not one another. They couldn't see one another. Neither rose any from this place for 3 days, because you couldn't see anything. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. What did you do, God? You covered the land of Egypt in darkness, so thick darkness you couldn't see, had to feel way along. Dark, darkness. What are you going to do with the cross? I'm going to cover it with darkness. The world doesn't understand. The world doesn't understand this. I'm shielding him. This is something that only God understands. Only God knows our condition. God, who created us in his image and likeness, to know him, to enjoy him. Only God knows what it's like to be lost in sin, dead in trespasses and sin. Only God knows what it's like to be without God. And here we are. We don't understand. God covers it with the pall, darkness, for all 3 hours. And that's what the cross is about. Because in those 3 hours, back over to Matthew 27. in Matthew chapter 27. And you will know, please, in this darkness, this horrible, horrible darkness that is there, over the whole land, wow, the whole earth. And it's questionable, it certainly was over the land there. Whether it covered the earth, we don't know. The Genesis flood, everyone knew about the Genesis flood. If you go to the Incas and the Mayans and them, the Genesis flood, where did you guys come from? We came from Genesis chapter 10. That's how we got down to South America and Central America and America. That's how we got here. What do you know about it? We know the judgment. God's a judgment. But we don't understand it. We don't have the Bible. We don't have the, but we know the judgment was there. Wow. So God, here we are on the cross. And how much is covered with darkness? Question, all of the land, the earth. But interestingly enough, do you know that awesome event? It'd be like having an ellipse or something. And somehow we have some foreign freaky thing happens that we don't understand it. And since we don't understand it, and it's all gone, we forget it. And the darkness never made the impression. The darkness didn't get through. No. And God knew it wouldn't get through. They just don't understand what I'm doing. Now, so the darkness in these 3 hours. And by the way, let's do that a little also, a little extra. Over to Genesis. That'll help you. Genesis chapter 1. Now you don't need any help in finding it. Just go to the first page. That's all. Go to the first page. Go to the first word. Genesis chapter 1. If I can. In the beginning, Bereshith, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Wow. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. The darkness was there. And now would you please look as you're looking at verses 1 and 2. God moved, and God moved. It was without form. There was no form. No, it was waste. Form, as it were. Without form. Waste, hollow. Nothingness, emptiness. There was nothing. And it was void. Void, waste, hollow, H-O-L-L-O-W, hollow, something hollow, nothing. Void, in verse 2, it was without form, void, and darkness covered it all. It was all shrouded in darkness, upon the face of the deep. Now what have we got? We've got nothing. And the Spirit of God gonna go. It'd be like taking, if you were going to make, it's not a good illustration, you're going to make something. And you're going to make something, and in the process you've got the flour and whatever you do out there and all the stuff. And it's just stuff. It's nothing. But then you proceed to take all of those nothingness and you mix it and turn it and cook it and make some wonderful little dessert. Wonderful. God, what are you doing? God, in the darkness he covered. What do we have? We got a table with nothing on it. No ingredient. We don't see anything of value. It's void. It's empty. It's without form. There's nothing here, God. It's just a ball of nothing. There's nothing here. Wow. Nothing here. Without form and void. And therefore, in God's wonderful, wonderful grace, what are you going to do? The Spirit of God in verse, you'll notice it, verse 2, the Spirit of God moved, it's intensive, It's an intensive, he's doing it, he's moving, he's animated, he's brooding over what he's looking at. He's going to take the nothing list like you would take the ingredients, and he's going to bring them together to make the dessert. He's going to take nothingness that you see, nothing of value. He's going to take that, covering it in darkness, and he's going to take and do something wonderful with it. And what's he going to do? He's going to move upon the face of the waters, and he's going to go and create, as the 6 days of Genesis, he's going to create the heavens and the earth. That's what he's going to do. God did that in darkness. God, what are you going to do? Virgin Mary, Luke, you have to turn there. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And the Spirit of God moved, brooded, hovered over. The little Mary's there. And he hovered over her. Nothingness. She's just an ordinary woman. But I'm going to do something wonderful. I'm going to go, and the Spirit of God's going to go and do a wonderful thing. She's going to go and create the Lord a body, make conception without a man. Mary, the holy thing in you is going to be the Savior. He's going to go to the cross and die. I'm making him in darkness. Now here's the darkness on the cross. In the darkness, what are you going to do? I'm going to cover it. Because who could understand? Who could even comprehend? Looking at the bowl of flour, lard, and whatever you do, whatever you do to make something. It doesn't look like much, but not to God. God, what are you going to do? What's it like to be without you? I'm hanging on the cross, the Lord said. And therefore, back over if I can, Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27. I'm picking up, if I may. And therefore, Spirit of God doing his most wonderful, wonderful thing in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, so here's the darkness in God. And what do we know about God? 1 John 1:5, you don't have to turn there. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. He's all light. God is light, the light of the world. What do we know about the light of the world? We know that, and he is the light of the world. God is light, and God is life. What are you facing on the cross, Lord, as I look over your shoulder? And you're going to, you aren't talking to me. No. Right now, not now, sit back and watch. The darkness covers. So as you're going to go, God, I'm going to go and I face death. I'm hanging here. Now 3 hours are going to go and I'm going to be without God in my perfect humanity. I'm going to be without God. I want you to know I'm taking your place on Calvary's cross. I'm going to be without God as you are till you get saved. For you, I'm going to bear your sin in my own body on the tree, and the darkness is going to cover it because you couldn't even come close to understanding what I'm doing. Now, having said that, and in God's, so we're made of dust. God made us in his image and likeness to be able to enjoy him and know him. And death comes along, and we need to come along in God's wonderful grace and get saved. Matthew chapter 27, picking up, please, in verse 46. In verse 46. And in the process, in the moments, in the darkness. In the darkness is there. And he's going to go, as you notice it says, verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, 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 actually, Eli, 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 lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So God, in this awesome, awesome moment, you're going to bear the sin of the world. And you're going to bear it to be without God on my behalf. I don't have God. And you're bearing my sin. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. So God, here we are looking. And in the process, forsaken. 3 1/3 years, did you understand being forsaken? Yes, I did, said the Lord. My family, Matthew 7:5, the townspeople of Nazareth, Luke, the disciples, John 6, many turned back, walked no more with me. Judas, I understand Judas, denied me, turned me in. Peter denied, Judas betrayed. All of it. What do you know, God? Do you know what it's like to be forsaken? Do you know what it's like to be lost? Yes, I've been feeling it for 3 1/3 years. No one wants to know me. No one wants to understand. They don't understand. They're in the dark. They're lost. They have no idea of God in heaven and the awesomeness of it. Wow. So therefore, here we are, knowing, and just think of Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to their own way. That's what they are. Why are you there, God? I'm there. Why is it dark? What are you doing? My God, why hast thou forsaken me, abandoned me, left me in the lurch, in the mire, the muck? You're not helping me. That's a cry. A loud cry, so they hear it. They're going to hear one time, other, but this is the first time in those 3 hours to hear it. My God, the only thing you could hear in the darkness was that noise, that sound. My God, why hast thou forsaken me, abandoned me, left me in the lurch? Why have you done that? Because you're bearing the sin. You drink of that cup, not my will, but thy will be done. I know, but the reality, and you sweat great drops of blood. I know, but the reality of this, being without you, is something else. And only the darkness and God understands what's happening. And all we can do is look at the cross. We just don't understand. So therefore, God, sin for us, you became sin for us. That's doing that first, to lock it on. Over to 2 Corinthians, so you see it. Second Corinthians in chapter 5. And you would notice, directly in the light of the context, verse 21, for reason, he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us on our behalf, who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him, that we could get saved. What's he doing there in the dark? He's bearing my lost estate. He's bearing my sin. That's what he's doing. Sin, sorrow, suffering. He's bearing it all. 1 Peter. And in chapter 2. And you will note in 1 Peter and chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 24, directly, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That purpose we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. He's dying for me, dying for you. What's the darkness? What's going on? Why God abandoned? He's bearing, taking my place without God. That's what he's doing to save me in a most awesome, 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 wonderful, wonderful way. And therefore, God, in your process, from noon to 3 p.m., God's going to go and do his awesome thing. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so he cried, as we shared, with a very, very loud voice, Ali, Ali, lama sabachthani, why hast thou forsaken me? Wow, that's my God. Now, in the process, God, you're going to do that. You did that for me, that's right. And you would understand it. No. It's a darkness that covers the earth. 3 hours. Is anyone going to think about it? No. No. I'm doing it for him. It was my plan. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world, before anything was created, I was going to glorify myself. I'm going to demonstrate what it is like to be without God. Without good, evil, godless, I'm the only God. And if you don't honor me, you have nothing, nothing at all. You're lost. You have none of the benefits of my awesome person. Over to 2 Corinthians. And you'll please note, in 2 Corinthians, in the light of it, for God, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4, 4, in whom, I'll read verse 3, if our gospel be hid, the good news, it is hid to them that are lost. So the darkness is hidden, keeps it away. They don't want to understand. They don't want to see. The crowd just looks. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. What? Why do you want me? Remember we said the devil's out to do his thing, to get the system, us worldly people, us humans, to rebel against God and reject his wonderful, wonderful plan. He died on the cross. He, before the foundation of the world, he's going to suffer and die. And we want, what does the devil want? Us to reject it. To reject the whole thing. That's what he wants. To get all the world on the same page. Now, so therefore, verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, our Lord, ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined where? In your heart, if you're saved. To give what? The light in the darkness of the knowledge of whom? Of the glory of God. What's the whole point? The glory of God. God's glorious. He created it. He's the only God there is. You ought to honor him. He's an awesome God. You ought to know him. There's no one else to know except him. You need to know him. So therefore, verse 6, and who God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Wow. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing, God. What do we do? And we come to and we receive the Lord as our Savior. And what happens when we receive the Lord as our Savior? Light comes on. In the dark, I can't see. But when the light comes on, I see. What do I see? I was a sinner. I said I was a sinner. I said I don't know God. I said I'm not saved. God, I'm wrong. You're right. But I don't understand it. I receive Christ as Savior. Light comes on in the heart. And what do I see? In me dwelleth no good thing. I didn't know how bad I was. See? I don't know how I was God, I was totally lost. I had no credentials to merit, to warrant, to earn anything. I was bankrupt. I didn't know I was bankrupt. I didn't know how I was like till, oh, wretched man that I am, I discovered it. I had to get saved to discover how lost I was. I wouldn't have seen. I was in the dark. The darkness covers. Like, we don't see anything. No, no. So God, you did a wonderful, wonderful thing to save us. And in the process, that's why what? That then, do you understand? John 15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him brings forth much fruit. And then do you understand the last one? Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Do you understand? If you don't have me, you've got nothing. I died on the cross and bore your sin in my own body on the tree, in the darkness of night, for 3 hours. Does anyone understand? No, 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 no. Therefore, in closing, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. What have you done, God, for us? Chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion, fellowship, hath light with darkness? No. We're children of light. We walk in the light as he is in the light. We have a wonderful, wonderful relationship. We're supposed to exercise it in the light, understanding what God has done for us. It's an awesome thing God has done. It's an awesome, awesome, awful, awfulness. It cost him to save such as us. God does it. And therefore, the benefit. Verse 16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Living, life, light. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you. And, 18, I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty, in the light, in the light. Walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. To enjoy God in the dark, a dark world getting darker. In your heart, you walk in the light and move forward to be a lighthouse, in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of the, somewhere out in the ocean, to protect the ships. The lighthouse just stays lit, doesn't go out, so the ships can see when you get near it. In the dark, beware. Here's the light of warning, the light to awaken the heart of the danger and the need to survive. To steer safely through the corridor of time. I can't do it, God, without you. Therefore, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved to the uttermost. Thank you. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and hearts, and God, we don't understand. All we can do is fumble through it and get a hold of it a little bit. Little, very little, actually. God, my God, my God. Abandon so that I could never be abandoned. So that I could be forever yours, God. To enjoy God's awesome person more and more, better and better. Thank you very, very much. Thank you, God, Spirit of God, the God who can take the darkness and bring it into the fullness of light so that I can see the cross and his death And the Spirit of God helps us to have light, to see why his death is so necessary, so that we could have a real, right relationship to you, God, forever. Thank you, help us, in Christ's name.